I'm Yu Xianmiao from Microsoft Research. Today, here I'm going to introduce to you our work, Fast Distributed Deep Learning over RDMA. In recent years, deep learning has gained super success in many specific tasks, including the image and speech recognition, NLP, generative model, and reinforcement learning. This model has been used and adopted in many real applications, including personal assistant, self-driving, surveillance detection, translation, gaming, and even art. So, one may think, what makes deep learning succeed? If you look back, you will notice that the concept of deep learning has been there for many years, but only started successful this decade. I think one important reason is computation power. With the presence of GPU accelerators, this is become feasible for us to train a complicated deep learning model. But the trend now is the model becoming more and more complex, and the data becoming more so as to get some better model. Well, this will both will introduce more computation complexity, which will easily exceed the power of one single machine. So one may think, let's have more machines. And we can use some fast connections to interconnect these machines for coordination. But unfortunately, there is still a gap between having this hardware to effectively deliver the best computation power. To solve this problem, let's first take a look at how a deep learning training would look like. Here is a simple example. We have a TensorFlow code. First, we declare several placeholders, which will accept the input data. And then we'll come up with some computational logics. The deep learning framework will help us to generate this backpropagation to compute gradients. Then with this code, we construct a graph called the TensorFlow graph, which is as the intermediate representation of the deep learning training. So when we want to run this graph, we just invoke the session run with input data. OK, so how can we execute the data flow graph in a distributed GPU cluster? The answer is currently, deep learning frameworks can provide some functionalities which can help us to partition the data flow graph into different parts and dispatch the different subgraphs to different servers. But in this process, some edges will become a cross server. And the deep learning framework will insert some sender and receiver operators in this edge. And these operators will be in charge of underlying communication. When the sender operator is ready, it will send its tensor to store the network. When the receiver side is ready, it will pass the receive the same tensor to its downstream operators. By splitting the data flow graph into several subgraphs and execute in parallel, this method is called model parallelism. And as a general enough mechanism, this can be applied to data parallelism. In data parallelism, each worker will hold a replica of the data flow graph and place some shared variables and trainable variables to a shared place called the parameter server. Then when finished processing the local computations, it will upload its gradients to the parameter server. Parameter server apply these gradients and then come up with a new version of the model. Such communication would happen very often. Actually, they will happen per mini batch. One mini batch means once the worker finished processing a small portion of the input data. To accelerate this process, we need a technical help of the high-performance network. Currently, RDMA network can deliver up to 100 or 200 gigabits per second in throughput, and reach the low latency with around 2 microseconds. The high bandwidth and the bypass kernel nature of the RDMA make it very sensitive to the cost, the communication cost that derived from communication. If we do not do it in a zero copy way, sometimes the performance will be impacted. as we have such a high performance network, can we just directly adopt it with the traditional RPC abstraction? Sorry, the answer is no. Okay, let's here have a little example. The sender wants to send something to the receiver side. First, it will just copy the data from its application memory to RPC managed memory. The RPC memory, there are some buffers. When the buffer is full, it has to split the data into multiple pieces and send them in packages. On the receiver side, it will just receive the packages and then copy it back to the application memory and merge it to the original one. During this process, we observe that the general purpose networking is done for this dynamic data structure, which is unaware of the data placement or size. By transferring, it has to involve multiple unnecessary memory copies, which will hurt the performance. According to our micro benchmark here, we can see that by using the RPC abstraction, it could hurt the performance by about 10 times. Then we found some new opportunities when using deep learning with RDMA. The RDMA provides the RDMA read and write abstraction, which can help us to read and write remote memory like local ones, and we can manage remote and local memories and local ones. In deep learning, the tensor usually transferred through network are always dense tensors, which means this data is very simple. We don't need to do some serialized or deserialization, and we don't need to batch them into larger packages. And the many runtime information can be used to predict our process. For example, during the deep learning training, the workload patterns are repeated across many batches, and the shape of a placement of the tensors can be known beforehand. So we combine the data flow graph with RDMA. In this process, we are going to remove the RPC overhead completely and transfer the data from the memory, application memory, to the remote application memory, so to avoid extra memory copy and the serialized deserialization. But there are still some challenges. The first, we need to track the tensors. The second is some tensors may change over time. I mean, it's dynamic. I'll explain later. First, let's take a look at the static placed tensor case. Our protocol consists of two phases. The first phase is graph analysis. On the sender side, the tensor manager will be able to detect which tensors will be sent and reallocate the tensors in RDMA-capable memory region. On the receiver side, the tensor manager already knows the size of the tensor that we're going to receive, so can pre-allocate some buffers in the RDMA-capable memory. By sharing the address of this memory to the sender will be able to know where the destination buffer is. During the phase two of a graph execution, when the sender is ready, it will just use a one-set RDMA write to put the data to the receiver side. The receiver will keep polling the last bytes of the tensor. When it turns from 0 to 1, it means the whole tensor is arrived. We can notice that during this process, no extra memory copy was introduced. But that's not always the case. Sometimes in deep learning, for example, when we train some language things, we have a different length of sentences, which will make the tensor dynamic. To solve this problem, our protocol also have two stages. The first stage is graph analysis. On the receiver side, because it doesn't know the size of the tensor, so it will only allocate a small portion of memory to record the metadata of the tensor, and then notify the tensor about this address. During the phase two, the graph execution, the sender, when it's ready, it has got the source tensor, its shapes, and its size, everything. Then we have put such information into its local buffer and send it to the receiver side. When receiver got this information, based on this information, it can allocate some local cache, local buffers on RDMA capable memory region, and then use RDMA remote read to get the content of the tensor. This protocol also can support GPU direct RDMA, which means we can transfer data to, data from a whole local device to the remote device without involving any host memory copy. With this idea, we implement our solution in TensorFlow with 4,000 lines of C++ code. Its major components consists of a graph analyzer, which can tell the, if a tensor is static or dynamic, and the graph reactor, which will replace original send and receive operators with RDMA capable ones. And the others, other the rest of the part will consist of some mechanisms which like doing the communication, doing the tracking. Because our solution is transparent to users, and the users don't need to change their code to apply our mechanism. To evaluate, we have got a small cluster with eight servers, and it is connected via 100 gigabits per second Mellanox RDMA enable InfiniBand. And we also collect a series of applications ranging from CNN, RNN, and FCN. Let's first take a look at the throughput. Web access means the mini batches per second, and we can see that compared to RPC-based solution, even is enhanced with RDMA transportation, we can achieve about twice the performance. Compared to the native TCP-based RPC solutions, we can achieve up to 21 times the throughput. To demonstrate the performance gain in real scenarios, we further evaluate the end-to-end training tasks for their convergence. For different solutions, we value the time cost to achieve the same convergence quality. On the left is an image recognition task. And using CIFAR-10 model, X axis is the running time, and the Y axis is a loss. Compared to the RPC-based solutions, we can achieve about 1.2 to 2.6 times speed up and to achieve the same loss. And on the right side is the sequence-to-sequence model, which is a translation language model. And compared to RPC-based solutions, we can achieve 1.5 to 3.3 times speed up. And the last is scalability. Scalability is one of the most important metric for distributed training. We can see that compared to our RPC-based solution, even enhanced with RDMA, we can achieve twice the performance easily. OK, to conclude, deep learning workloads and the new network technologies give us the opportunity to rethink the RDMA, the RPC abstraction of network communication. We designed a solution with device-like interfaces, along with static analysis, dynamic tracking, and able to take the full advantage of underlying RDMA capability. Thank you.
Have some questions? We have two on the right there, so one. But not too fast.
Thank you for the presentation. My question is, how essential is RDMA to you get your performance benefit? If I have a more efficient RPC implementation, because the reason I'm asking this question is, suppose I run suppose I use a more efficient RPC implementation on Ethernet, how much performance can I get improvement from this?
Sorry, Ricky.
Is RDMA essential, or can you just use a more efficient RPC over Ethernet that doesn't do serialization or whatever?
RDMA is essential. Remote access, memory access is essential, because in the deep learning workload, sometimes it's iteratively processed, and in each iteration it will behave similar, and you can predict the their tensors will be transferred.
Yes, I think the sorry. I think what you're criticizing GDPR for is they are doing memory dynamic memory allocation, right? They are doing serialization and deserialization. But there's also RPC frameworks that does not do this, right? For example, there's this ERPC published like an SDI just like last month. I think they also do zero copy transmission and so on. I was wondering like if I just use that on Ethernet, how much performance?
That's a good suggestion. Yeah, you mean I would like to, I would need to compare with more advanced.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like how important is RDMA for you to achieve this kind of performance? Like how much additional value does RDMA provide?
RDMA is able to bypass the kernel and don't need to involve any extra memory.
Yeah, so it's bypassing the TCP stack.
And the kernel. Yeah. So it can just directly access with all the. Because if you have other solutions like TCP solutions, you need to have.
It's not TCP. It's not. It doesn't go through like the paper I'm talking about is ERPC published in SDI, best paper in SDI last month. I was wondering like if suppose I replace gRPC with that, how much performance I can get without RDMA?
Okay, I think we have compared with other the RDMA enhanced RPC in our paper. If we have further question, we can take offline. Right?
Okay, we can take.
You can talk about it on the way to the airport. Yeah. There's one more question down there. So, throw the microphone.
Okay, thank you for the presentation. I'm not so familiar with training, but I want to ask the question, how do you determine where you're gonna chop off the graph and you know where the RDMA is gonna happen? Because it does seem that chopping off a graph in the way that you have doesn't seem very efficient because, well, thereby your work is on top of that, but is it common? And how do you determine where is the most advantageous place in a graph you're gonna chop?
Yes, if I understand correctly, you ask how do we do model partitioning, right?
Yeah.
Actually, in our experiment, we just focus on the primitive server way, which is data parallelism. Yeah. We don't make a decision on this because it's hard to define it, which is better, and the value will be not convincing. Thank you.
Questions? I have a question while you're setting up. So there's a difference between variable size data sets that you want to move versus known size where you don't need to send the metadata, right?
Okay.
In many cases, when you have a variable size intermediate output, let's say if you have sentences of variable lengths or whatever, to avoid having to make the decision, people just pack.
Okay.
So if you pack, then you can have a one-hop transmission without having to do this exchange through RPC, basically, for the metadata. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the increased bandwidth consumption of padding all everything to be the maximum size versus doing this round trip for the metadata might be advantageous in some cases?
Well, batching can bring you some benefit from this. But the batching is orthogonal to our solution because you can have to know this beforehand, ahead of time, so we can just merge. If we know that it's static, we can just place the in the contiguous region in memory, and we can stand out if we can in batch way. And if it's a dynamic, well, it's a little bit hard, but still we can do that.
My point is if it's dynamic, you can make it static by saying the maximum size is this, mm-hmm. I'm always gonna send this.
Mm.
Therefore, I don't have to incur the extra control flow, mm-hmm. but now I'm sending more data. So
yes,
I'm wondering if it's worth doing the hard work that you have to do to get up the dynamic stuff.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. We haven't tested that.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
Last question.